to see the number that are present today and many that are joining us by Zoom or by Facebook. I just got through buttoning my coat. First time I've been able to do that in quite a few months. The doctor said I could get rid of that brace, so that feels good not to have that particular burden. So we are grateful to the Lord for healing and for, we pray, continued along that line for all of our number who are here today. As you see on the screen, we're going to be talking about the exhortations of Hezekiah. We need to get a little bit of background in respect to who Hezekiah was and what was the hard work of restoration and what was he restoring. You recall that God's people, there were 12 tribes, but early on, there was a division among God's people. The northern 10 tribes set up their own kingdom, their own king. And God allowed for that as a punishment to Rehoboam and his ungodly ways. But what God didn't allow for was the altars that were set up and the idols that were set up by Jeroboam, the first king of the northern 10 tribes, to worship God. God wanted his people to go to Jerusalem as they were to every year observe the Passover. Now the southern two tribes were referred to as Judah, and those kings would form the lineage that would bring about the Christ. But Hezekiah was one of the last kings, good kings in Judah. There would be another to come, another two kings. But as the northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes, referred to in Scripture as Israel, as they continued in their ungodliness, God eventually allowed the Assyrians to come and take them captive in punishment for their sin. Their last king was Hoshea. And he lived about the same time as, or he was reigning about the same time as Hezekiah. Now, the Assyrians, they not only wanted to take that northern kingdom, but they were going to go ahead and take little Judah as well, and they were just trying to take over the whole area, go down to Egypt. But God spared Judah because of Hezekiah and because of his ways. Now, what's interesting is Hezekiah had a very wicked dad. And there are many lessons that can be gleaned from just these chapters, chapters 28 through 30, though we're just going to look at 29 through 31. Chapter 28 talks about Hezekiah's dad. His name was Ahaz. He was a very wicked king. The Bible says in chapter 28 and in verse 1, he did not that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah. He walked in all of the ways of the kings of Israel, meaning the northern 10 tribes. He made molten images for the Baalim. In other words, he worshipped Baal. And look at verse 3 of chapter 28. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom Jehovah cast out. Child sacrifice was something that was practiced in the wicked nations round about. But here's God's king doing this. The Valley of Hinnom was just southern side of Jerusalem. Later, that whole area is, and they were setting up these idols and this idol worship to various gods. The god of Molech was one god that they would sacrifice, do human sacrifice to. Now understand, these gods don't even exist. There's no such things as Baal God. They don't even exist. They were made up. They were the imaginations of men. And look at the atrocities that are done. Nevertheless, when a later king comes along, he not only destroys all of these altars and images and everything, but he turned that whole area into a trash heap where they would burn the trash on a regular basis. And therefore, you get the Greek word later on, Gehenna, which is a term used for hell. That place where there's that constant burning. But he did all of these wicked things. And what's interesting is that God would punish him for these things. And he would allow other countries, like the Edomites and the Syrians, to come and to oppress him. And to take many away captive and to kill many. And the interesting thing is, the Bible says that Ahaz, when things were getting really bad, he thought to himself, maybe I need to repent and serve God. No, he didn't. In fact, what he did was, he said, well, you know, the gods of the Syrians, you know, they overpowered me. Maybe I need to worship the gods of the Syrians. And so that's what he started doing. But the Bible says it didn't help him out. In fact, verse 22 of chapter 28, it says, in the time, this is Ahaz, in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against Jehovah? He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, maybe they'll help me. Therefore, I will sacrifice unto them. But they were the ruin of him, because they don't even exist. You sacrifice to a fake god, what's it going to get you? Well, nothing. And the true God, is it going to help? This was Hezekiah's dad. Hezekiah grew up as a young man. This is the influence that he grew up under. Now look at chapter 29. Chapter 29 says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. 25 years he sees all of this from his dad. His dad dies, and he begins to reign. But the Bible tells us that he began to reign. Look at verse 3. In the very first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the house of Jehovah and repaired them. The previous chapter, I didn't want to take time to read all of this, but in the previous chapter, Ahaz had shut the doors to the temple. It's not only that he promoted this ungodly worship, he shut down true worship. The very first thing that Hezekiah does is, let's start the true worship again. Begins to make repairs to the temple. His dad had gone in there and taken many of the vessels that were made of gold and silver and cut them up and used them to try to buy off the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser. And as he was coming down, he sends this tribute to the fellow, say, you know, don't invade me. The guy took his money and invaded him. It's sad when you think of people who get rid of God in their life. And we could have just a lesson on Ahaz, a lesson that basically says when you get rid of God in your life, a lot of bad things will happen to you. Not just one, two, three, but one bad thing after another, because he didn't have God's help. But Hezekiah, on the other hand, sought to bring about a restoration of spiritual things. Well, to get ready, there was a lot of work that needed to be done. In fact, verse 4 says of chapter 29 that the priests and the Levites, they would be the ones who would be leading proper worship. He brings them in. And he says, verse 5, Hear ye me, you Levites, now sanctify yourself and sanctify the house of Jehovah, the God of your fathers, in other words, the temple, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Clean this place up and make it the way it's supposed to be. You go back to the book of Leviticus, that book that we don't sometimes want to study very much, but you see what the Levites and the priests needed to do to sanctify themselves, to clean themselves up spiritually. There was a process that they would go through. And of course, you don't lead people by hypocrisy. You can't ask the people to do what's right until the leaders have done what's right. And so he gathers them and tells them to sanctify themselves. Why weren't they? That process was to be continued. They were to always be sanctified, but they weren't. They had been negligent. Look at verse 7. He says also, as he talks about having forsaken God and his ways, he said also, they have shut the doors of the porch. They have put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. They had neglected proper worship. The doors are shut. They're not. This stuff was to be done daily. Wasn't being done. I wondered if they thought they didn't need it. You know, there are those in the Lord's church today. We don't need that. I'm a good person. Well, I'm sure a lot of good people here were as well. But we're not going to heaven on goodness. And look at verse 8. Wherefore the wrath of Jehovah was upon Judah. Now, like I said, Israel was taken into captivity. A little Judah, right now, God's wrath was upon it because of what the way Ahaz had been, not just how he had been living, but how the rest of the people were as well. Weren't worshiping God, they weren't doing it either. He wasn't, they weren't. So the wrath of Jehovah was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them to be tossed to and fro, to be an astonishment, a hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the swords, our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Again, you go back to chapter 28, you see of the many thousands. Chapter 28 and verse 6, Pekah, who was a leader of the king of Syria, the Bible says that he slew in Judah 120,000 in that day, and he took many as slaves. So when Hezekiah is saying, hey, you've seen what's happened to us, you can go back and read and see what it was. Look at verse 11. My sons, be not now negligent, for Jehovah has chosen you to stand before him, to serve or minister unto him, and that you should be his ministers and burn incense. So he's talking to the Levites and the priests, sanctify yourself, don't be negligent, let's get back to doing what is right. Verse 12, then the Levites arose. And you find, verse 15, they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and went in according to the commandment of the king by the words of Jehovah to cleanse the house of Jehovah. It was not a time for negligence, not for the priests who would offer the sacrifices. Now you see what's going to happen is the people had not been observing the Passover, that yearly feast. And Hezekiah, in the next chapter, is going to invite everybody to come. But you got to have things ready. These people are going to come, they're going to offer up sacrifice, but the priest did the actual offering. But if you don't have priests ready, you see? And it was more than the priests. The Levites were those who would serve in the temple itself, which would involve the songs that were sung and a lot of other things. And so they had to be sanctified. And all of this was become a symbol. But what would happen, it was a shadow of what happens today. God's people are to be holy. And Jesus is our high priest. He is holy, and he has sanctified us through his blood. And you and I, we are priests. And we're to be living that holy, sanctified life. We're to be serving God without sin in our life. But back to 2 Chronicles. It wasn't a time for these people to be negligent. What's interesting is the Levites listen, but the priests don't. Just go ahead and skip ahead to verse 34, where he is talking about the people coming near and bringing their sacrifices. Excuse me. Verse 34, but the priests were too few so that they could not flay all of the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, until the priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. Hezekiah had given them time. And Hezekiah says, it's not time to be negligent. And so the Levites go right away to going through the ceremonial cleansing so that they will be sanctified and ready. But the priests didn't. That's not God's fault. Nor is it God's word's fault. When men who call themselves gospel preachers and those out there in the religious world that call themselves reverend this and so forth and so on, keep this in mind. They don't. They should be representing God, but they don't. The only thing that represents God is this. And you'll find people in the world who will reject this because there's some fella who says, I'm a Christian, I'm a preacher, I believe in God, and does things that we know simply are not right. The priests were not ready, but the Levites were. It wasn't God's fault, it wasn't Hezekiah's fault. It's just that the priests, not all of them, obviously there were those that were had sanctified himself. The point of the chronicler is not enough of the priests had done it. Eventually they caught up. But the Levites had to end up helping them because they were more serious spiritually. So we find then that Hezekiah gets the people ready, and then he himself sets the example in worship. We find in verse 20, Hezekiah the king rose up early, gathered the princes of the city, went up to the house of Jehovah, because if you'll notice earlier in verse 15, they gathered the brethren, these Levites sanctified themselves according to the commandment of the king by the words of Jehovah to cleanse the house of Jehovah. Verse 16, the priest went into the inner part of the house of Jehovah to cleanse it, brought out all of the uncleanness that they found in the temple of Jehovah into the court of the house of Jehovah. The Levites took it to carry it abroad to the brook Kidron, get it out of the city. So they sanctified the house of Jehovah in verse 17. So now we find that Hezekiah comes to the house of Jehovah. He brings all of these sacrifices. We won't take the time to read all of the sacrifices. Verse 23, they brought near the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the assembly, laid their hands on them. And the priest killed them and made a sin offering with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel, not just Judah. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. Now, this is setting up what's going to happen in a moment. But he sets a good example then in his worship. Verse 29, and when the king had made the end of the offering, all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. they bring their sacrifices then with thanksgiving. He answered and said, "Now you have consecrated yourselves unto Jehovah. Come near and bring sacrifices and thanksgivings into the house of Jehovah." He had done it. Now he calls on the people to do that very thing. And as we saw, they come and the priest had a difficult time keeping up. The Levites end up helping them, as we have already read. And verse 35 says that they bring these peace offerings and drink offerings. So the service of the house of Jehovah was set in order. And there was an urgency about it. Verse 36, "And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, because of that which God had prepared for the people, for the thing was done urgently," or suddenly. They got on to it. The reform needs to take place now. Well, time to come and worship the Lord. Hezekiah chapter 30 and verse 1 sent to all Israel and Judah. You see that? All Israel, northern 10 tribes, and Judah. All of God's people. Even though the northern 10 tribes had not worshipped God properly for decades, still, he held out hope there would be some who would listen. And basically what he says is, invite everybody to come to the Passover feast. The temple is prepared, the priests are prepared, the Levites, let's invite everyone to come and observe the Passover, which had not been observed properly. It hadn't been observed in Judah, much less the northern 10 tribes. So he sends letters to all Israel and Judah. Ephraim and Manasseh, they were the big, big tribes of the northern 10. Send letters that they should come to the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem and keep the Passover unto Jehovah, the God of Israel. So, the invitation is made. Verse 5, there was a proclamation from Beersheba even unto Dan. That's a southern city and the northern city. We would say from the north to the south, everybody gets invited, that they should come and keep the Passover unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem, for they had not kept it in great numbers, in such sort as it is written. They hadn't done what God had asked to do. In verse 6, this post is sent out, this message is sent out, these letters. And the people went throughout Israel, the messengers, Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, "You children of Israel, turn again unto Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel," or Jacob, "that he may return to the remnant that are escaped of you out of the hand of the kings of Assyria." Turn back to God. God will turn back to you and spare you. Such was the call. Look at verse 7. "Don't be like your fathers who trespassed against Jehovah, the God of Israel." Don't be stubborn like that. Look at verse 8. "Be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Jehovah, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve Jehovah God, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, and shall come again into this land, for Jehovah your God is gracious." God wasn't throwing a fit here. The people had turned against him. And all Hezekiah says is, through this letter, turn back to God, and God is a compassionate God. You hear people today, difficulties take place in their life. People who don't worship God on a regular basis, people who don't read His Word, people who many times use His name in vain, constantly, well, Lord this, and Lord, well, God this, and my God this, and my God that. And every time I hear that, I think, well, do you have a God? You know? And what do you think about your God? Do you serve that God? Do you honor and praise Him? No, you just use His name in vain. And you fill your life with the philosophies of men and the morality of the whatever society that you're in at the time. And then something tragic happens to you, and what's almost the first words that come out of their mouth? Well, why would God let this happen to me? And they don't see the disconnect there. Until this tragedy happened, you didn't care about God. You lived every day for yourself and busy about this and that. And then all of a sudden you want to know about God. But what's interesting is God holds no grudges. And even when you've had that attitude, you can turn back to Him in repentance and in acknowledgement of your sin. And He's compassionate to forgive. But He's not a fool. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, God is not mocked. He's not a fool. You treat Him like a fool, and you won't have Him on your side. So nothing has changed. God is gracious to people who acknowledge Him. Don't be stubborn. And so Hezekiah says, go and invite all. But look at verses 10 and 11. So they go, and the Bible says in verse 10 that they go through the countries of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, which would be the northern part, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Worship down in the temple. We haven't done that for decades. We're not going to start now. And that's the way the world will always be. But, you know, the Bible tells, Acts 17, there at Athens, remember the Stoics and the Epicureans and so forth, when Paul is preaching, they start listening to him. But the Bible says when he talked about the resurrection, they laughed at him, they mocked him. What will this babbler say? The little seed picker, you know. What will he have to say? But there were a few there at Athens, the Bible tells us, that listened to what Paul said. And there always has been those few. Look at verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 11. Nevertheless, certain men of Asher, small tribe, and Manasseh, a large tribe, and Zebulun, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. You know, that would have never happened if the invitation wasn't made. Invite people to know God. Invite people to worship God the way God wishes to be worshipped. And a lot of people will say yes and not come. Others will kind of chuckle a little bit and say, well, you know, they've outgrown that. Or, thank you, I appreciate that, but, you know, I think I'm okay. Others may even make fun of you. But every now and then, somebody will listen to you. And every now and then, someone will do what is right. And so, upon Judah came the hand of God to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Jehovah. Those few people came, and others there in Judah, and did what was right. Because the Bible says that the hand of God gave them one heart. God in His providence brings back the remnant, the few, who are humble, who are willing to acknowledge they haven't done what's right, and seek to do what is right. And so they worship God, and they assemble, verse 13, in Jerusalem to keep the feast of the unleavened bread, in the second month. And the Bible tells us, verse 15, verse 16, and they stood in their place after their order, according to the law of Moses, the man of God, the priest sprinkled the blood which they received, and of the Levites. The law wasn't set aside. The law was followed. That's how you bring about proper restoration. You don't just say you're sorry. You start doing what is right. So they followed after the order according to the law of Moses. For there were many in the assembly that had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites in charge of the killing, the Passover, the animals and so forth, for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto Jehovah. So everything is done properly and everyone is sanctified. In the latter part of verse 18, the Bible says, Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, the good Jehovah pardon everyone that setteth his heart to seek God. Jehovah, the God of the fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Praying for these that needed to be cleansed. Our lessons today, of course, is that God needs a sanctified people today to render service. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 remind us that we are to come and offer spiritual sacrifice. We're to have a transformed life by the renewing of our mind and bring forth our spiritual service to God. God needs a people who will turn again unto Jehovah. You see that in verse 30 and in verse 9. That's what the call was. Turn again, and you will find compassion. That's the solution for when we haven't been doing what's right. That's what repentance is. It's not just feeling sorry and saying something like, whoops, my bad. No, turn again and start doing what's right. God needs a people who will yield themselves. No one is going to force you. It's always been that way. The gospel call goes out. God isn't going to force you to do what's right, because that wouldn't be true worship. It never has been. And so the call was, yield yourself. Don't be stubborn. Don't put up the fence. Don't put up the wall there. Yield yourself. Tell yourself, I need to yield myself to God. I need to turn myself over to Him. And I need to be urgent about it, not negligent. That was the first thing Hezekiah said, you know, after he said, you need to sanctify yourself and don't be negligent. Yeah, some of the priests were. But the Levites took it to heart, didn't they? And have your service to God set in order. Do it the way God wants it done. That was Hezekiah. This wasn't Hezekiah starting a new religion. No, let's just get back to doing what God said to do. And so the Bible says, in the very first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the house of Jehovah and repaired them, and started setting things in order. That's what needs to be done. Do it the way God wants it done. In verse 35 of chapter 29, so the service of the house of Jehovah was set in order. And the result? Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. And he did that which was good and right and true before the Lord his God. This wasn't a one-time event. He got things going back the way it should be, so that every year they observed the Passover the way it should be observed. with priests who were sanctified, with Levites who were sanctified, and with people who came offering their sacrifices that they might sanctify themselves. Set themselves, make themselves right before God. And this is what he did throughout all Judah. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. And so he prospered. So he prospered. The word "so" there means in this fashion. It's the only way we can prosper spiritually. The only way to prosper spiritually is to do things the way Hezekiah did it. Now, the law has changed. The covenant has changed, I should say. Jesus nailed the old covenant to the cross and instituted his covenant. And that's what we serve today. But things that haven't changed is the nature in which you and I make ourselves right before God. We have to do what is good and right and true as defined by this. Every work, we need to do it with all of our heart. And it will cause us to prosper as well. We will do that for one main reason. We serve the same God. There's only one true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he has not changed in his nature. He had covenants. He had rules and laws for the patriarchs before the law of Moses. I said one time, I was talking about Abraham. I said, you know, Abraham didn't keep the law of Moses. And there were several who were like, what? Of course not. It wasn't given. But God had given laws to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So God has given laws at different times, at different ones, but now commands all men everywhere that they should heed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they should do and follow his Son, our Lord and our Savior. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to obey his will, then we would encourage you the same way that Hezekiah did his people. Listen to the invitation. Don't be stubborn. Yield yourself. Accepting the fact that Jesus is his Son, turn from your sin. Be baptized into his death that you may be raised to walk in newness of life. Having been born again, you're God's child. And you have the hope of eternal life in heaven through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want you to have that. If you're a Christian and you have gone back into the world, we want to encourage you to come back to the Lord, to serve him and to do his will, and to once again worship and follow him with all your heart. If we can aid you in any way this morning in fulfilling that, we encourage you to let us know. We stand and sing.